Good morning and welcome to The Pulse. We are in Gassaway, West Virginia, and we are thrilled that today is Sunday, and today we worship Jesus. We do every day, but this is the day that we set aside to just whatever you want to call it, right, Sandy? It wasn't there the seventh day that Jesus rested, the Lord rested? And so that's what we're doing today. We are worshiping the Lord today. And so I'm excited. Thank you, Jesus, that you're here today in this building. Thank you, Lord, that Christians are in this building. Blood-washed people are all over this building. And we love you, Lord. And we know that you're going to send in more blood-washed people in Jesus' name. Even if you're not saved, you're still welcome here. And this is where you can get saved. You can get saved anywhere, but I'm just saying, right? Okay. Well, there is a simple scripture that so many of us recite. But really and truly, it's more real than sometimes I think we all realize. And that is, all things are possible with God. All things are possible with God. Now, some people think there's no cure for cancer. Okay? For whatever's ailing them. Sickness, disease, emotional distress. But what the Word of God tells us is that all things are possible. All things, yes. Do you have cancer? All things are possible. Hallelujah. Do you have emotional trauma from horrible, horrible situations that happened in your life? All things are possible. Do you have issues with pornography? Your spouse found out? And they are ready and poised to leave you. Guess what, child of God? All things are possible. Is your child suffering due to issues that perhaps maybe they've brought on themselves, some of them? All things are possible. Is your wife a cheater and you were through? Child of God, all things are possible. Do you hang on to that scripture? Are you in a situation where there seems to be absolutely no hope at all? Man has told you there is no hope. For the child of God, the blood-washed one, all things are possible. Hallelujah. I'm grateful for it. He cares about all things, great or small. And there is hope. For those of us that are blood washed, there is hope. Keep that scripture close, people. Apply it to your daily situations and circumstances. And in so doing, he can lift you out of that miry clay and take care of your situation. Blessed be his holy name. He will put a hop and a skip back in your step. Wouldn't you rather have that than what you're going through? I know I would. God help us all. He wants to. Let's let him. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, honey. That when God says all, the Greek for all is all. That's quite a thing, what she's trying to share, because sometimes we don't take the word of God literally. Sometimes we think, well, that means this or that, or he really meant to say this, or it really doesn't mean what it sounds like, right? But he said all. Anytime God says all and every, wow, it's powerful. because he means exactly what he says. So when you see that in the Word of God, not just where she read, but other places, then I encourage you to take it very literally. And I said something in our Connect group the other day, and I may have said this last Sunday. I want to repeat it just quickly. God speaks through his Word, and it's a living Word. It's a living document. It's alive and well. When you speak it, it comes right off the page because it's fresh right then, as if it was just off the press. But his second way he speaks to us is through his voice himself, from the very mouth of God. So I said to the class, I said, think about this. When you tell someone, God told me to do this today, or God spoke to me, folks, that's present right now. That means you just heard, are you ready? You just heard from the mouth of God. That is a profound thought, to think that God is that personal and that close. And he is. I'm John Sandy, my wife Cynthia. This is the Pulse and Gas Away, and we're so glad to have you with us, whether it be live or delay.
I think I've only done this once before, but Jesus is telling me that I need to speak this to somebody under the sound of my voice. Mm-hmm. If you have cancer, all things are possible. I had a scare of that when I had my son. I went to the doctor. They told me I needed to go to the doctor. I did, but I prayed before I went. And the word was, whose report will you believe? I took it to heart, everybody. I took it to heart. Got down on my knees, had someone pray for me. And I believed and I looked up. You know what? When I got the word back that I did not have an issue, I tell you.
Yeah.
I was so thrilled. I was praising God. All things are possible for the child of God who believes and asks.
Yeah.
Don't think that you don't matter, because you do. Amen.
Amen.
I had to say that.
That's awesome, honey.
That was stirring in my heart today, and I needed to say that.
Ask, seek, and knock. That means whether you're here live or listening later, this is for somebody. That word is for somebody. Isn't that awesome? Thank you, honey, for being faithful to that. Well, we are on part eight on stop asking for what you already have. And we talked somewhat about binding and loosing, if you remember. So I wanted to review that just a tiny bit before we went right into where we left off last week on this topic. So how do we bind and loosen things? It begins with the mind and then the mouth. We talked about this. What goes into the mind goes throughout the body. Now think about that. What goes in the mind goes throughout the body. What do you mean by that? Well, if you don't believe, if you get a bad report and you don't believe God's word here, it's not going to come out your mouth. It's not going to be embedded in your heart. So it's so serious that we understand that what we bind and loose starts right here. That's why he said you have the mind of Christ, because you can cut that thing off right there. Do you know that whatever the circumstance is, whether it's an issue with someone, a relationship, finances, physical illness, whatever it is, mental illness, whatever it is, do you know that everything starts and ends right here? You either have a victory here or you don't. If you have the victory here, then it's going to come out your mouth and you're going to confess it. It's like I said before, people can see fear on your face, they can see faith on your faith as well. All physical warfare is won or lost in spiritual realms. Let me say that again. All physical warfare is won or lost in spiritual realms. If you do not have victory in the spiritual realms, which is where he said the warfare takes place, the principalities that we come against, if you don't take it right then it's going to defeat you in the physical. As with sickness, if you go into spiritual realms and defeat that and have faith, then you defeated it in the physical. If you do not defeat something in spiritual realms and take authority over it, then you will not be victorious in the flesh. See how it works together and against each other? So that it's important to know that the physical warfares are won and lost in spiritual realms. We must loosen. Now remember, you can loosen something you should be binding, and you can bind something you should be loosened. So it's important that we know what to bind and what to loosen. And before you can loosen, as I mentioned, you have to bind. If I'm going to lose something into my life, something positive, which is what loosening is, you want to lose things that are positive in your life. In order to do that, you must first put aside and defeat those things that bind you and keep you from being loose. You've got to bind those things first. So in review, I thought it'd be good to go over that just real quick and just talk about where we are in our spiritual warfares. How you doing? How you doing in your spiritual warfares? We're to operate within the mind of Christ, as mentioned a moment ago, to resist yielding to the flesh. We do this by controlling our tongues, and our words must project faith. My wife had said to me, and I told you this, she said, "Do you believe you're healed?" And I said, "Yes." She said, "Well, then act like it." People see what you really are. Now, we try to hide it in different manners, and sometimes we're successful to a point. But after a while, the tests are going to overtake your lack of faith, and they're going to start to see it too. You can hide it just so long. So, no doubt, we can't have any doubt. Faith is the absence of doubt. We then replace words of death with that of life. The devil came to steal, kill, and destroy. That's death, folks. He's here to make death real in your life, in every area of your life, while you're still living and when you leave this world. He can take you out before your time. You think about this war in Ukraine. The Ukrainians have lost soldiers to the equivalency of the men we've lost in Civil War battle, about 58,000. I heard a report the other day that staggered me. They said the Russian losses were 600,000 soldiers. Wow. So decisions affect other people, don't they? Do other people's decisions affect you? Yeah, whether it's in a workplace or in a relationship or even in church. Decisions affect us. What are you going to do with them? What are you going to do with the ones that are of God? Are you going to do it? We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against loosing, against binding. We are called to bind and loosen. You're not called to whine and whimper and beg God to do something. He said, "I've given you what you need. Put on your armor. Get on your big boy pants, so to speak." That's another way of looking at it. And do God's will. Do what God's called you to do. Because there are people waiting for you to be obedient. Then we battle against principalities. We mentioned this about in spiritual wickedness in high places. Rulers of darkness of this world. Now, we just got through talking about spiritual realms, right? That's a spiritual area. That's not a physical. But it says right here, a darkness in this world. Do you see the application of how we treat spiritual realms and what happens in the physical world? The darkness in this world is the result of not taking authority in spiritual realms. We must bind and loose the proper things in our life. And when we do that, it's going to show up in the flesh in this world. So we can drive back darkness, amen? We can take authority over darkness. Spiritual wickedness in high places. Ephesians 6:12, if you want to check it out. That's from the King James Version. If we defeat the enemy on our terms, on our territory, then we can walk victorious in his territory. Let me read that again. I think that's really good. If we defeat the enemy on our terms, on our territory, then we can walk victoriously in his territory. See, God has given you authority to bind and loosen. That means that you and I will decide what happens in our life. We say, "Oh, God did this for this person, but I wonder why he didn't do it for that person." See, we have the whole wrong mindset. It's what you do with it. He's paid for what you need. He's paid the ultimate price. He sent his son, died on the cross, and suffered his stripes. He didn't have to suffer his stripes for your salvation, but he wanted to cover your physical needs too. Why do we neglect that? Why do we kind of shoo that away? It's a very serious thing to neglect what God's done for us in the physical realm and the spiritual realms. This is why praise is such an important part of our relationship with God. God inhabits the praises of his people, Psalm 22:3. Notice that this scripture says this people, his people. Now, wonderful. It's talking about his people. It's you and I, our responsibility. Here is where God's Spirit can rest in the hearts of those who have bound the enemy and loosened the will of God in their lives. God can only rest where his will is being done. Now, we're getting to a little bit of a different area here. It says here, God can only rest where his will is being done. Have you ever thought that way? Where is God? Yes, where is God? Why doesn't he help me? Why doesn't he do this and that? Well, he's going to rest where he finds a place to rest. And where is that? In the heart of a believer. In the heart of the true believer, the ones that have put him first and sought his will and not their own. This is where he rests. See, your heart cannot hold the presence of God, the love of God, the purpose of God in your life. You can't hold that in your heart unless your heart is a room created for it. If you have a hard heart, if you have a heart of stone, he says the word that he wants to take away the heart of stone and give us a heart of flesh. We need to understand that if we aren't living for God, our heart is not equipped to handle love or faith. It's not going to do it. So knowing things is not good enough. We got to choose to adopt those things. Praise is the meeting place for a relationship with God. Let me read that again. I like that. Praise is the meeting place for a relationship with God. If we don't have a relationship with him, then we don't have the presence of God. Make sense? Did you know, there's a sermon I want to work on called, I think it's entitled, I can't remember it offhand, but it has to do with the condition of the heart and how we need to be equipped. Did you know, here's the essence of what I wanted to tell you. The essence is, did you know that if you have unforgiveness in your heart, that you nullify God in your life? Did you know that? That's how serious unbelief is. And there's a very strong scripture in 1 John 3:15 that clarifies that you do not have eternal life. It says it right there. Folks, it's very serious to have our little petty arguments and have our petty things going on in our lives that not only cut us off from God, it cuts us off from each other. You're no help to anybody with that in your heart. So we must get rid of doubt and unbelief as well as a critical spirit and unforgiveness. So once again, a physical warfare is won and lost in spiritual realms. Wow. So that was something I wanted to review just for a moment that we went over last week on binding and loosening. I just thought I wanted to elaborate on that just a little bit. Now, if you remember last week when we ended, we talked about different things, different little rules of law. You can call them little points of light that we talked about last week. And I want to review real quick as we head into some more. Number one, how can we have hope unless we bind fear? Just little things to think about. I want to throw out there for you to think about. How can we have hope unless we bind fear? See, hope is the opposite of fear. Fear is the opposite of faith. Fear, are you ready? Fear is the opposite of everything that's not of God, that's of God. Fear is the opposite of everything that's of God. So if you have fear, then you have nullified on your own. God hasn't said, no, I'm not going to do this for you. He doesn't make those decisions. He's done it for you. Do you want it? How do you get it? By faith. So if we have fear, we have nullified every good work of God because it's the opposite of faith. He says, without faith, it's impossible to please him. Can I say this? With fear, it is impossible to please him. Same thing. Number two, how can we claim eternal life until we first defeat death? How can we claim eternal life until we first defeat death? Now, what does that mean? It's not talking about physical death. See, the Bible tells us that unbelievers will suffer two deaths, this one and then the world to come as hell is cast into the lake of fire. So, how do we claim eternal life until we first defeat death? When you lay down your life and be a living sacrifice, When you become a living sacrifice, you have defeated death. Paul said it very clearly. To live is Christ, to die is gain. Death was victory for him. So you can defeat death, and you can defeat these things if you are willing to lay down your life and suffer whatever God has for us. And I don't mean that in a negative way. The Bible tells us we're all going to be tempted and tried. So that's all I'm saying. So as you want to do God's will, as you seek his will, you can have eternal life and defeat death at the same time. Death is no longer victorious. Jesus came and paid for that. He came to pay for death and hell. He came to pay the way for all of us. Number three, how can we prosper if all we know is want? You think, well, that's what prospering is getting what you want, isn't it? Well, if God wants it for you. See, when you have a call on your life, when God has told you something to do, and you see a desire over here that you have, you have to be careful about praying about your desires, your wants, because if you're not careful, it will take you off track of what God has just told you to do, because they're not flowing together. Does it mean he may not have them for you later? In fact, your obedience may guarantee it. But until you're faithful, you can't get wandering off into things that you want. So once again, how can we have hope unless we bind fear? How can we claim eternal life until we first defeat death? How can we prosper if all we know is want? How can you prosper if all you think about is what you want? Me, 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 me. You know the song, the movie of the little fish, Nemo. Do you remember the seagulls? I love it. Do you remember that? Me, 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 me. They're all fighting for fish, and they're all going, me, 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 me. Well, I think that's hilarious, because that's the way we are a lot of times. Even when we go to pray, think about how you pray. Do you pray with praise and thanksgiving in your heart? Do you ever pray without asking for anything? There's nothing wrong with asking for things. People have needs, and you're crying out for them as well as your own. Nothing wrong with that at all. But God wants you to also go deeper, past your wants. You can cry out for legitimate stuff, but watch what you pray for sometimes, because you may be asking for something that will get you out of line with what God's already asked you to do. Now keep in mind, the last leading you have prepares you for the next leading. If you have a leading of God, be careful that you don't put your desires above his will. He said, I'll give you the desires of your heart, but he also says, those who love me, those who seek me, those who want my will first, deny themselves, take up the cross, those are the people he can give you the desires of your heart. Otherwise, he knows that your wants will actually defeat you. Your wants will destroy you. But if you obey him and he brings in the wants, that means it's not going to hurt you. Isn't that good? It's not going to defeat you. So don't put your wants ahead of God's will. It could be that he still has them for you. You may have legitimate wants that he wants to fulfill, but he has to get you ready for them. Because if you're not spiritually alive in him and dead to the flesh, your wants can cause you to be quite spoiled, to the point where all you do is go to God for when you need him, and you don't talk to him unless you have a crisis. All these are symptoms of things when we want things before God. Number four, how can we claim heaven as our home if we hold on to this life in this world? Kind of went over that already a little bit. So I heard one pastor say this. He said, people say, they preach about in the sweet by and by, when I get to heaven, all that stuff, and then they find out they're going to die and they don't want to leave. But that's the way we are. All we know is this world. All we know is this place here on earth. We don't know, we can't understand infinite things. Everything we understand is finite. We do that by faith, believing. But we got to learn to not let the flesh lead the way in our life. Not be so attached to this world. You know the old expression, we're so heavenly minded, we're no earthly good. Keep everything in perspective. While you're here, obey God. While you're here, do his will. But while you're here, love everybody. Love everybody. Why you're here. God loves people you hate. What are you going to do with that? God loved his enemies. Jesus loved his enemies. Stephen, when he was stoned, he said, Lord, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. That's love. But see, that's the love of Christ. Your and my love won't get it done, but the love of Christ will. But we have to have a heart after God.
God also said in his prayer, the Lord's prayer, forgive us our debts as we forgive those who trespass against us.
Yes, the very Psalms, 23 or 3rd Psalms, the very Psalms, doesn't it, honey?
Yes, it does.
The very Psalms, thank you. The very Psalms tells us that he'll forgive us in accordance to how we forgive others. In fact, if you read the scripture thoroughly through, every once in a while he'll jump in, he'll say, if you have any aught with a brother, forgive him. Now, why does he do that? Because it's so critical that we be clear with God. Are you clear with God? Good question. Are we clear with God when you get up in the morning? Are you clear? I'm not talking about simply going through all the rituals that you have on a list to check off. Like, did I pray 10 minutes? Did I read the Bible 10? No, I'm not talking about just that. I'm talking about being available. I'm talking about just simply being available. Are you clear with God? Did he tell you to do something you haven't done yet? Well, he might let you do it today. And he asks forgiveness. He'll just move on and work with you. And that's so awesome, man, that we serve that kind of God. There's great hope. But keep in mind, at the end of your journey, if you have a lot of those in your life where you don't obey God until late, you know, sometimes doing God's will has to be on time as well. It's not just doing God's will. We got to be on time. We got to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit when he speaks to us. But if you miss it a lot during your life, at the end of your life, I'm not saying you're not going to heaven. I'm just saying you've missed a lot. You missed a lot of your assignments. That story God wrote in the book of Psalms. So how can we walk free from guilt? This is number 5. How can we walk free from guilt if we do not accept the price that was paid for our freedom of forgiveness? Let me read that one more time. How can we walk free from guilt if we do not accept the price that was paid for our freedom and through his forgiveness? Do you carry guilt? Do you look at things in your past that bother you? Do you have things that in your past you just wish you could go back? We all do. All have sinned and fallen short. I don't care how close you walk with God today, you fall in that category. You have fallen short at one time, right? But God wants us to fall short less and less and less and less. See, that's what God's looking for in us today. He's looking for us to grow. Whatever happened in the past, he'll forgive you. But what are you going to do with today? What are you going to do with tomorrow? Are you going to turn the corner? Are you going to start to grow? Are you going to start to do his will instead of your own? Number 6. How can we be a blessing to others if we have nothing to give? You've heard me talk about sharing God's revelation. You can't share someone else's revelation. You have to get it. Then you can preach that same revelation because now you have it. So how can I bless others when I have nothing to give? Do you have a revelation of God, Christ dying for your sins? Do you have an experience of receiving salvation and being baptized in the Holy Spirit, being physically baptized as well? Do you have a positive experience about your witness and your testimony around you? Do you? So you got to have something to give to give. It's like Christmas time. You can't buy a gift if you don't have the money to buy it. Well, in our case, Jesus paid for the gift for you. All you have to do is show up with your faith and receive it. And now you have something to give to others. Now you have something to offer other people. So how can we receive, how can we help people if we have nothing to give? If we have not received the blessings prepared for us. See, it's all been prepared. God did not make this complicated. He said even a wayfaring fool can understand. God did not make this trip complicated. What's complicated is the flesh. Man, it'll just take you down the wrong road. It'll make your life miserable. You wear your emotions on your sleeves. God wants us to go deeper. Are you off milk? Well, why would you ask me that? I've been a Christian for 30 years. I teach Sunday school. I'll still ask the same question. Are you off milk? You know how I can tell if you're off milk? Because you have things to tell me that God's done in your life and things he shared with you in Revelations and how he showed you something in the scripture and how he witnessed and so on. That's when you're off milk. See, people on milk are like babies. That's the parallel. And what do babies do? They are totally, completely dependent upon you as the parent to survive. Well, here's the problem. When you get on milk, you're still totally dependent upon God. But now he can use you. See, a baby is not ready to take on assignments. It's totally dependent upon you for nourishment and survival. But when you get on meat, you're still totally dependent upon God. But now he can use you. See the difference of getting off milk and on meat? Unfortunately, what we do is when we get off milk, we think we're self-sufficient and we can do it on our own. Number 7, how can we receive healing in our minds and body if we are unwilling to press past the flesh to believe and receive? This is probably the number one thing that I think that holds Christians back today. There are two groups that normally do not vote very well as far as in numbers in the United States. Those two groups are gun owners and Christians. The very thing that we have complete control over in our society as Christians is who gets in offices for different positions is the Christian, because we outnumber all of them. If every Christian, how do I know? They say Donald Trump probably won the election by about 5 million votes. You know how many Christians probably did not vote? 31 million. You work the puzzle. You tell me. We, the church, are responsible. He said, if my people, he didn't say the world, he didn't say if the world repented. He said, no, if my people humble themselves and repent and turn from their wicked ways, I will heal their lands, politics. I will heal their lands, pollution. I'll heal their lands, crops, medicine, advancements, heal their land. All that's included in there. So we as Christians and those that believe in Christ, we need to step it up and start walking our faith. We're not only staying home on election day, we're staying home every day spiritually. Do you have a testimony of how God led you this last week? Do you have a testimony of how God used you? Did he show you something in the Word of God? Did he bless you in a way that you weren't expecting because he revealed something wonderful and new to you? Do you? Are you growing? Are you on milk or are you on meat? Do you still find yourself totally dependent upon him? Folks, I'll tell you right now, the deeper you go with God, the more you get on meat, the more you need him. The revelation becomes greater. Like I said last week, people say, oh, you just use God as a crutch. I certainly do. I certainly do. Without him, I can do what? Nothing. That's zero. That means empty. Nothing. And if without him, you could do nothing, guess what? Without him, you could offer people nothing. You have nothing to offer. Now, this world, you can do morally good things and help people, and that's all wonderful. I applaud that. But if you're not of Christ, you're in this world, you're doing nothing. Absolutely nothing. Because he says right there, without him, you can do nothing. What do you mean by that? That means nothing eternal, nothing of spiritual significance that affects the spiritual realms that we wrestle against. Well, we got to press past the flesh. Ephesians 2, verse 6, from the Amplified Version. And he raised up together, and he raised us up together with him and made us sit down together, giving us joint seating with him in heavenly sphere or virtue of our being. This is the Amplified. In Christ Jesus, the Messiah, the Anointed One. Oh, I want to read that again. There's just too much there. I'm going to have to probably close with this because there's just too much right here. Ephesians 2, 6 from the Amplified. And he raised us up together with him. He said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men to me. There you go. Raised us up together with him and made us sit down together giving us joint seating with him in the heavenly sphere by virtue of his being in Christ Jesus, the Messiah, the Anointed One. Now, it says here that he will sit us in heavenly places, heavenly sphere, according to Amplified Version. That's spiritual realms. You say, well, I'm not with him. He's in heaven. Jesus sits at the right hand of the Father. He says spiritually fear, spiritual realms, spiritual sphere. The place where we fight our battles. He is right there with you. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. So when you go to warfare with the devil, you don't do it in the flesh. You get in spiritual realms where he is right now, waiting for you to take battle, to have your rear guard, put on the armor. He said, I'll have your rear guard. He said, your righteousness shall go before you. Your obedience will go before you. And when you are obedient and you put on the armor of God, he said, I'll have your rear guard. You're totally covered. You are completely covered. The devil has no authority. He has power, but he has no authority. Not an ounce of authority. He can only do what you give him. Do you know where he gets his power? From you. From me. Without us, he would have nothing to work with. But we give him material, don't we? We give him plenty to work with. So we're going to stop right there. Ephesians 2:6, you might want to ponder that, review that, and chew on that for a while, because God promises to be with you. In fact, he's going to sit right there with you in heavenly places as you go to battle. You're not alone. You're never alone. God is always there. He's always with you. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He will go with you to the end. He said, if you make your bed in hell, I will be there. To the very end, he'll stand right there to the very end, trusting that you will turn to him and turn from your wicked ways. And he will heal you in your land. Great hope, isn't there? Great hope. And I believe the result of the, I don't know if y'all caught this or not. Let me say this one last thing. Whenever Trump gave his speech when he won that late that night, do any of y'all know what happened right after that? The people started singing How Great Thou Art in his audience. And they had their hands up. People prayed. And we saw the results of prayer. Let's don't go to sleep. Do not go to sleep, people. You keep praying for the safety of our president. You keep praying for the future of this country that we will turn around and turn from our wicked ways. He'll heal it. He'll bless us. Jesus, I thank you for the privilege of being with you today. That to think that when you speak to us, that we're hearing straight from your mouth. Wow. Thank you, Lord. I thank you for those that are with us live or on delay. You're still on time. We're glad to have you with us. I pray that you will take a hold of these words and the cause of Christ in your life and start to get off of milk on the meat and start to become more and more dependent upon him every day and watch yourself grow. Watch him work. See, God will work when you grow. The church will grow when we grow. Until we grow, the church is not going to grow. We need to get awake. We need to come awake and find ourselves shaken in the kingdom of God to do your will, Father. We bless you and praise you. Amen. Thank you. Pray you hit like, share, and subscribe. I want to tell you that our website that we started is now online. It has now been launched. Please look up waterandthewordministries.com, all one word, waterandthewordministries.com, waterandthewordministries.com. Please check it out. There's a place for comments, a place if you would like my wife and I to come and speak. There's places we have developed some wonderful Christian shirts and a devotional in there, a place where you can listen live. We promote. And just keep this in mind, folks, that support this ministry. As our ministry grows, our tithe comes here. So as this ministry, if you check it out, as this ministry grows, we give our tithe off of that to them, and then we give a portion of it to the church in Uganda, Healing Mountain in Uganda, Pastor Stephen Marende. We support them through this as well. So please check it out and leave a comment or check the whole thing out and scroll through it. There's a lot on there. And we're excited to be sharing this with you. Thank you for being with us. Next week, we'll go into probably the last section, part 9. We'll stop asking for what you already have. Thank you for being with us this morning. Stay tuned. Service is coming up shortly after 11. We'd love to have you with us. Thank you.